Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Then the angel said to me, Everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in this book. Worship only God. Verses 1 through 9, Revelation chapter 22. Thank you, Father, for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the love, the mercy that flows from your word as we read and meditate on it. Thank you for the wonderful ways in which you touch our lives and bless our lives as we take time to read and meditate and think on your word. Thank you for how your Holy Spirit ministers to our mind, body, and spirit as we read and meditate on the word. More and more empower us to be the church that you've called us to be, who are wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds and our lives with your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your scriptures. Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And Father, this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come bring understanding. Father, we'd like to know more about who you are. We want to know more about how you love us. And Father, we want to know more about the history of man and our relationship with you. So thank you, Father, for these scriptures today. And we're just excited to spend some time with you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Want to continue to remind you that we're just a few weeks away from our spring share-a-thon, and we're gathering stories now to play during our spring share-a-thon. And we'd like to hear from you. If the Lord has used American Family Radio to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, to point you to Christ, or to encourage you in your walk with Christ, if the Lord's used it in some way or another, would you please share your story? We'd like to hear your AFR story. It would be a blessing and encouragement to others. And if you tell us how Christ has used AFR in your life, and keep in mind, during our spring share-a-thon, you just might hear your testimony played during that time. Call and share for a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during share-a-thon. Again, that number to call is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893 to call and share your listener testimony. We definitely hope to hear from you. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. If you listen regularly, you may recall we regularly are encouraging and challenging you to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. If you're not doing that, you don't know what you're missing. Remember that the Word of God is the source of power, light, grace. It's the source of everything. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And so when you're spending time in God's Word, you're spending time with Jesus. And that will bless your life in so, so many ways. So today is a great day to start that very productive habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. And of course, again, as we've mentioned before, if you decide 3 chapters isn't enough, I need more, wonderful. You can't overeat. You can't overdose on the Word of God. It'll just bless you more and more. We often also encourage you to email us to get copies of discipleship articles that we share with you, because they're tools meant to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord in your own life as a disciple, but tools for you to use to disciple your family, and tools to forward and share with others that you may know, fellow church members, fellow workers on the job, saved or unsaved persons you may know. And how easy is it to email something, to just forward it by way of email? So I want to share with you an article that is a reminder of why we as the church should be passionately involved with standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Actually, this one addresses two tragic issues in our culture, the tragedy of sex trafficking as well as the abortion issue. But it's a reminder that all of us need to get involved passionately, find out what God would have us to do, and get involved with coming against wicked institutions out there such as these. The title of this article is Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The following are testimonials, real accounts from women who survived sex trafficking and experienced forced abortions in the midst by their captors as well. Now, by the grace and mercy of God, they did survive, but they had some horrific testimonies sharing of their experiences in the midst of their being sex trafficked during that ordeal in their lives. The following are those testimonies. Number one, "When my trafficker found out any of his quote-unquote girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term." Now, let me just mention once again, these are tough to listen to, but they're real testimonies of precious women who, by the mercy of God, survived sex trafficking. The second testimony, "I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion." Number three, "Before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 through the time I was trafficked until I was 23. Number four, "My trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out." And number five, "I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out, quote unquote, on the track again right afterward, and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I am happily married is too great to describe in words." What you've just read are real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking, yet experienced forced abortions by their captors. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America, as well as in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, amongst other things. It's evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yet sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to the industry of sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking, as one aids and abets the other. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It's so critical that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10 and verse 10, we're told, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These two wicked industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to these and all the other ills in our world. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We're called to pray diligently and to passionately and passionately for the ending of the work of both of these dark, wicked industries. However, it's so important that we understand that we pray and then we get up and do what we're called to do to help end these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against these dark industries. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they're well prepared to help educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved in sex trafficking. Pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out their vital mission. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate your church family about these issues. Find out ways to help extend the educational reach of these ministries. Also, learn more, much more, about so much of what the ministry of Standing for Life is about. There are many great ministries that are doing great things to help the cause of life. Pregnancy Help Centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a child at a tough time in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great things many believers can do to help. Volunteer your time and or help to give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to the clinics. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics to change their minds and keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but change their minds and decide not to abort before they go through with it. This is the result often of people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates, to work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people to stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help women to see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. And whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They're the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke 10, 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along and sees the same wounded individual. He, too, passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, and helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money to help see after his needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of the church to go and do not as the priest or the Levite did. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. We'll be right back.
It's the song of the redeemed. rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this.
Music from the Newsboys with He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just sharing this last small portion of the article that we were sharing earlier, the title of the article again, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. The last portion of that article says these words, "Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, and helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money to help see after his needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of the church to go and do not as the priest or the Levite. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. Brothers and sisters, let us love the Lord enough to do what he says." Once again, the title of that article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you a copy. Please email us because, again, it's an informative article and an article to encourage you to get involved with a critically important work in the kingdom of God. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. "You saw the misery of our ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, his officials, and all his people, for you knew how arrogantly they were treating our ancestors. You have a glorious reputation that has never been forgotten. You divided the sea for your people as they could walk through on dry land, so they could walk through on dry land. And then you hurled their enemies into the depths of the sea. They sank like stones beneath the mighty waters. You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, so that they could find their way. You came down at Mount Sinai and spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and instructions that were just and decrees and commands that were good. You instructed them concerning your holy Sabbath, and you commanded them through Moses your servant to obey all your commands, decrees, and instructions. You gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and water from the rock when they were thirsty. You commanded them to go and take possession of the land you had sworn to give them. But our ancestors were proud and stubborn, and they paid no attention to your commands. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them. You did not abandon them even when they made an idol shaped like a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." They committed terrible blasphemies. But in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Then you helped our ancestors conquer kingdoms and nations, and you placed your people in every corner of the land. They took over the land of King Sihon of Heshbon and the land of King Og of Bashan. You made their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and brought them into the land you had promised to their ancestors. They went in and took possession of the land. You subdued whole nations before them. Even the Canaanites, who inhabited the land, were powerless. Your people could deal with these nations and their kings as they pleased. Our ancestors captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things, with cisterns already dug, and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate until they were full and grew fat and enjoyed themselves in all your blessings. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who warned them to return to you. And they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies, who made them suffer. But in their time of trouble, they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven. In your great mercy, you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. But as soon as they were at peace, your people again committed evil in your sight, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet whenever your people turned and cried to you again for help, you listened once more from heaven. In your wonderful mercy, you rescued them many times. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations, by which people will find life if only they obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. In your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your spirit who warned them through the prophets, but still they wouldn't listen. So once again, you allowed the peoples of the land to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are. And now, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love, do not let all the hardships we have suffered seem insignificant to you. Great trouble has come upon us and upon our kings and leaders and priests and prophets and ancestors, all of your people, from the days when the kings of Assyria first triumphed over us until now. Every time you punished us, you were being just. We have sinned greatly, and you gave us only what we deserved. Our kings, leaders, priests, and ancestors did not obey your law or listen to the warnings in your commands and laws. Even while they had their own kingdom, they did not serve you. Though you showered your goodness on them, you gave them a large fertile land, but they refused to turn from their wickedness. So now today we are slaves in the land of plenty that you gave our ancestors for their enjoyment. We are slaves here in this good land. The lush produce of this land piles up in the hands of the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They have power over us and our livestock. We serve them at their pleasure, and we are in great misery. The people responded, "In view of all this, we are making a solemn promise and putting it in writing. On this sealed document are the names of our leaders and Levites and priests." Nehemiah chapter 10. The document was ratified and sealed with the following names: the governor, Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, and also Zedekiah; the following priests, Seraiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshullam, Abijah, Mijamin, Maaziah, Bilgai, Shemaiah. These were the priests. The following Levites: Jeshua son of Azaniah, Benui from the family of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their fellow Levites: Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Benai, and Beninu. The following leaders: Parosh, Pehath Moab, Elam, Zatu, Benai, Bunai, Asgad, Bebai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Aden, Ater, Hezekiah, Azer, Hodiah, Hashem, Bezai, Harith, Anathoth, Nabai, Magpiash, Meshullam, Hezer, Mesher Zabel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashab, Halohesh, Pilha, Shobek, Rahum, Hashabna, Maaseiah, Ahiah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, and Baana. Then the rest of the people, the priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the pagan people of the land in order to obey the law of God, together with their wives, sons, daughters, and all who were old enough to understand, joined their leaders and bound themselves with an oath. They swore a curse on themselves if they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord. We promise not to let our daughters marry the pagan people of the land, and not to let our sons marry their daughters. We also promise that if the people of the land should bring any merchandise or grain to be sold on the Sabbath or on any other holy day, we will refuse to buy it. Every seventh year, we will let our land rest, and we will cancel all debts owed to us. In addition, we promise to obey the command to pay the annual temple tax of 1/8 of an ounce of silver for the care of the temple of our God. This will provide for the bread of the presence, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbaths, the new moon celebrations, and the annual festivals, for the holy offerings, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. It will provide for everything necessary for the work of the temple of our God. We have cast sacred lots to determine when, at regular times each year, the families of the priests, Levites, and the common people should bring wood to God's temple to be burned on the altar of the Lord our God, as is written in the law. We promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year, whether it be a crop from the soil or from our fruit trees. We agree to give God our oldest sons and the firstborn of all our herds and flocks, as prescribed in the law. As prescribed in the law, we will present them to the priests who minister in the temple of our God. Verses 1 through 36, Nehemiah chapter 10. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Forever Jones with You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, chapter 19, beginning at verse 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering them. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astonished. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." Then Peter said to him, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" Jesus replied, "I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive it 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. Then those hired at 5 o'clock were paid. Each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they, too, were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others. So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. 2 blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." "Be quiet," the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." When Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they said, "we want to see." Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly, they could see. Then they followed him. Verses 1 through 33, all of Matthew chapter 20. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. I want to continue to remind all of our listeners, we're a few weeks away from our spring share-a-thon, and we're gathering stories now to play during our spring share-a-thon, and we're hoping to hear from you. If the Lord has used American Family Radio to bless you and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, or have we been used of the Lord to encourage you in your prayer life or in your spiritual growth, well, please share your story. We'd like to hear your AFR story, and we believe it could be a blessing to encourage many others as well. So please do tell us how Christ has used AFR to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. Call and share for a minute or two on the following number, and you just might hear your testimony during our spring share-a-thon. That number to call is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. We do hope to hear from you. Just a reminder also, too, on a pretty regular basis through radio spots and through maybe other means, we encourage you to pray Psalm 91 every day. Well, our ongoing encouragement is, yes, pray that daily, because it's a prayer to bless your physical health, but also for supernatural protection. Remember, we live in a dangerous, crazy world, and praying Psalm 91 is just a wise act of faith on our part. to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that Psalm 91 prayer to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Let us know. We'll be glad to get it to you. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs we've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In the Word of God, you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to read your Word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we definitely want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and email us, get in touch with us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, keep in mind, if you wanted to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title of the article earlier was Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Same email if you want to get a copy of it, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.